We shall now turn to the Word of God, to the portion we read previously in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. We may read from verse 9 again. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, and so on. As enabled, we want to concentrate our minds upon those words in particular that are repeated in verse 9 and then in verse 1 of chapter 12. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, the days of thy youth. And then in verse 1 of chapter 12, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And it's obvious then that God, through his word, is directing us to consider that part of our lives that we refer to as our youth, the days of our youth. For some, that's the period of life that they're now presently in, the days of their youth. They will get older, but presently they are living the days of their youth. There are those here in the congregation, the days of their youth are past, and whatever they accomplished or failed to achieve is history. They are now beyond that, and perhaps they have to, like David, as he was saying in the psalm, he was young, now he is old. He has passed that period of life that was his youth, and he's now old. And he is looking back and he is reflecting, and he says throughout his life he has noticed this, that God never abandons the righteous man, and he has never seen his seed begging bread. That God has taught him from his youth certain important lessons and certain principles for life. Youth is a most important period of our lives. How many you will meet today, and they live with regrets over a wasted youth. A youth that was wasted, or a youth that was misspent and led to a life of misery and affliction and pain and agony. A life of regrets, that's what it has led to. And we trust then that as we consider these words, that we would be laying them to heart. As I look over the congregation, there are those, and they are young. They are at this present time living the days of their youth. If you look at the context, you will see in verse 12 of chapter 12, further, by these, my son, in addition to what he has already written or whatever he has already said, further, by these, my son, be admonished. That's something that those who have passed through youth will recall they found it difficult to handle. To receive advice and to take it and to be admonished. And here's a father addressing his son further by these, my son, be admonished. Listen to the advice I give you. One of the things should be obvious without even going into the context that God's word does draw our attention to the domestic circle and the domestic affairs of families and relationships within them. And we ought to learn the importance of the advice and the counsel that comes from parents to their children, the advice and the counsel that comes from fathers to their sons. Sadly, fathers do not seem today to appreciate their lot and their responsibilities, and they do not admonish, or they do not advise, or they do not counsel their children and their sons. We hear in our generation, there's never a day that you will turn on the radio or read a newspaper when you don't hear of what? Domestic abuse. Over and over, domestic abuse. And the result is that the government, in its frustration, is paying out millions of dollars to handle the situation, to find refuge for abused wives and their children, and to find some way of trying to reconcile husbands and wives who abuse each other verbally and physically and whatever else. If only our nation could get back to the Word of God, and if families, the majority of the problems would be solved in no time, if the government would take God's word as its standard and adhere to its principles and see that those principles were taught in the schools and taught in the homes, what a difference it would make to our society. Here we have a father addressing his youthful son. And this is the advice, this is the counsel that he gives. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The days of thy youth. Now, earlier on in this same book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 3, we read, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, and so on. Here is wisdom acknowledging that everything has its season, and every life has its seasons. It is the season of childhood, infancy. It has the season of youth, the season of middle age, and the season of old age. To everything there is a season. Youth is a God-ordained and God-constituted season in life. And to everything there is a purpose. There is a purpose, purposed by God for youth. It ought not to be wasted. It ought to be used to the glory of God and for the fulfillment of God's purpose. And when we come to listen to the advice, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, there is most certainly a duty to be performed here. And the duty is to be performed so that when youth is past, there will not be regrets, because you can see that in verse 9, know thou, that is, young man, know this, whatever you don't know, you must know this, that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And therefore, you are going to have to account for your youth. You are going to have to answer to God for the days of your youth. Will you do so with regrets because of a misspent youth? That's the question that we have to address to our own consciences. First of all, then, in considering these words, the days of thy youth, we have to appreciate that youth is but a fleeting period of our lives. I'm sure every one of you have at some stage have spoken to some elderly individual, an old man or an old woman. And maybe you meet them at a particular birthday, and you perhaps refer to the long life they've had. What will they respond? What will they say? I don't know where it has gone. It just seems like yesterday since I was at school, or yesterday since I was playing with my brothers and sisters. It's just, it has gone so fast. And youth is but a part of that life that is passing swifter than a weaver's shuttle. And the fact is, we cannot sustain youth. We cannot preserve it. We cannot somehow or other keep it as though it will never change. The fact is, youth is but one period of our lives, and it is short-lived. When I think of it, when I was in this church years ago as a church deputy and other congregations in this presbytery, I have photographs of people in the congregations, elders who are not here anymore, families, old men, old women, and children. But they're not children anymore. They have children themselves, some of them. Because, you see, we are swiftly progressing through our lives, and very soon, even though this may be the day of our youth, it will soon be left behind. It will pass so very, very quickly. And the days of our youth are important because they are days of discovery and learning. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, because the days of our youth are the days of learning, the days of discovering. They are the days when we come to understand who we are and what we are, and to some degree, why we are here. The days of youth are days when we learn about the world we live in. We learn more and more about life itself. Our lives are being molded. Principles are being established in our thinking as we learn. And one of the important things is that God directs us not to glory in our wisdom, not to glory in our knowledge, not to glory in our wealth, but to glory in this, that we know God. Therefore, it is a very important matter that youth would be directed aright. And who is responsible for directing youth? Where do we find ourselves in our youth? We are, according to what we've already noted in chapter 3, we've been brought into this world at a particular time in history. We were not born in the 16th century. We were not born in the 18th century. We are here today. Our youth is being lived, if we are young, in the 21st century. And that is not an accident. That is according to the purpose of God. And therefore, we are surrounded by the environment, we're in it, and it is according to the purpose of God. We're in a society that to a large extent does not remember God the Creator, does not acknowledge Him. And yet here, when youth is when we're in that period of life that is called youth, the days of our youth, this is what we are directed to engage our minds with. We need to learn about God our Creator. How much do we even here know about God our Creator? The days of learning, the days of discovery. Why do children go to school? Why do they engage in homeschooling? Why is there any schooling? It's because of the knowledge that exists, that children have a capacity to learn. And they are going to learn something. Every child in here tonight is learning. The question is, what exactly are they learning? They are learning as they are taught by precept, but also by example. What are they learning from the instruction that is given to them? I believe the way things are going, the day is coming when every Christian parent, the way the state schools are going, they're going to have to resort. Even Christian schools are lowering the standards, and they're going to have to learn to educate their children at home. That's the way society is going. That's the way of the thinking, the corrupt, vile, wicked, depraved, immoral thinking of the educators of this generation. And they do not want children to even believe there is such a thing as a Creator. That is banned. Children are to be taught not to think in a distorted way that there was a first cause, that there was a God of wisdom and knowledge who created all things by the word of His power. That's the last thing that this society wants the youth to believe. They are supposed to believe in all kinds of theories about the beginning of all things. And yet, even though they'd be sending rockets into space and whatever else, they still cannot, with all their scientific knowledge, they cannot define what is called life. L-I-F-E. They cannot define it. They can say all kinds of things about it, but they cannot define it, and they haven't discovered its source yet. But this is how contrary the Word of God, our Bibles are, to the thinking of modern man and modern society. And you see, the days of our youth are the days for learning, and that learning, what we learn, is going to affect how we will live in the future. And the days of youth are important because they introduce us to manhood and womanhood. And how often don't you hear of parents, even Christian parents, lamenting bitterly, "My son, my daughter, I am concerned, I'm anxious, I see traits developing in their thinking, I see patterns of behavior that are making me afraid. I tremble to think if they keep going in the direction they're going, what they're going to turn out to be." You know what I'm talking about. And the reason for much of it is that it is not instilled into the minds and the thinking of children. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. These are days of formation and development. The future man, the future woman, the future adult is being formed in the days of youth. And sometimes you can look on and you see a young man, you see a young woman, and you know, well, if the grace of God doesn't change him, or if the grace of God doesn't change her, I can see how they're going to end up. You know, because there is the man, the adult is being formed, the character is being molded, the principles are being set, the habits are being formed. The habits are being formed. And you will find that many a man, many a woman, many an adult will confess, will acknowledge, "My bad habits were formed in my youth." Or they might say, if their habits are commendable, "Well, I developed that habit when I was young, in the days of my youth." You young people, what habits are being formed in the days of your own youth? What habits that are going to continue to develop, perhaps, even into adulthood? The course of life is being set in the days of our youth. But also, the days of our youth are days of opportunity. The days of our youth. How many, a young man, a young woman, they come to that decisive moment in life when they know, "I'm going to go in one direction or I'm going to go in another direction." And many there are. And they will look back to a moment in the days of their youth when they made a decision that impacted the rest of their days. And they say to themselves, "Perhaps I'm mighty glad that I made that decision to go in that direction. I was tempted to go in another direction. I was strongly minded, even encouraged, to go in that direction. But God somehow or other preserved me from doing it." God in his mercy, for whatever reason, I don't know, I didn't know at the time, but God hedged me about, he fenced me in, he blocked the way, and I didn't go the way that I was intending to go. How glad I am when I look back. Because you see, important decisions are made in the days of our youth. Young men and young women, they go to school. They go through the educational system. What are they doing that for? To prepare for the future. And you know that some of you, your children, they come to a certain age in school when they have to decide, well, I'm going to study this subject and this, and I'm going to drop that subject and so on. Why are they doing that? Because they are thinking of the future. And those are the days of youth are the days when we make decisions that will have either a good impact or a terrible damaging impact upon our lives. You will meet with those and they will lament. I almost did this, but I didn't. And I look back and I wish I had. I didn't think of God. I didn't ask advice from God. I didn't consider his word. I didn't look for light and guidance from God. I didn't remember God. I didn't take him into consideration. And now I live with the consequences. Now I live with disastrous consequences. Because I did not remember my Creator in the days of my youth. You find those in the scriptures, and it's very obvious that the days of their youth made them, developed them into an adult engaged in particular activities or following particular principles or whatever. We've been looking recently at young Josiah. Why did he become the king that he did? Why was he reforming as he did? Why was he so lamented over when he died so young? Because he began to seek the Lord in his youth. And that made all the difference. He began to seek the Lord. Not when he was an old man, but when he was a young boy. The days of our youth are the times and the period in life when we are going to set the pace and set the course for our lives. Remember what was said of David and Goliath? Whenever David comes before Goliath, he was but a youth. They were the days of his youth. And what was David saying when he went out to meet Goliath? And he's in the days of his youth. I come to thee in the name of the Lord God of hosts of Israel, whose name thou hast defied, and so on. And who was he coming out to meet? Goliath. And what did Saul say of Goliath? He is a man of war from his youth. He is a man of war from his youth. Now he might not have been the champion of the Philistines in his youth. But you see, he was a man of war in his heart. He was a man of war in his inclinations. He was a man of war developing in his youth. And you and I have to face the reality that in our youth, the man or the woman is being formed. And if we do not remember God in those days, then we will indeed suffer for it if we are brought up under the gospel. What is then the duty of youth? What's the particular duty of youth? Here it is. Remember. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, go back up to verse 9 and see what instructions are given. Rejoice, O young man. Rejoice that you're young. Rejoice that you're in your youth. It's a good time in life. It's a good time to be alive in the days of your youth. Rejoice that you've been brought to your youth. Rejoice that God has preserved you to your youth. I remember when I was younger in where our family burial ground is, the old church that my mother was brought up in, in Ireland, there are the churches, Presbyterian churches have a cemetery on the grounds of the church. And I remember at a funeral, the old grave digger who was the church warden and so on, he was referring to this particular family grave beside the one in which the remains of the deceased in that day was being buried. And he said there are 13 children, infant children, in that grave. 13 infant children born to one mother who never reached their youth. It is something to rejoice in then that we reach the days of our youth, because it is in God that we live and we move and we have our being. And He has set the bounds to our days. And we should be here thanking God that He, if it is true, that He has brought us through the days of our youth. But you young people, you should be thanking God this very night, rejoicing in the fact you are living the days of your youth. What else do we read? Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Be happy. Be glad. There's no reason to be miserable. It is a time to be glad, to be happy, to rejoice in God's goodness. But then, walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. That's what youth does. Youth very often doesn't take advice, but follows the inclinations of the heart and the sight of the eyes. Isn't that why a young man follows the sight of his eyes, follows the inclinations of the heart, and what does he do? He sees a young woman, and the sight of the eyes, what does that do? It directs him to seek the attention of some young woman. The sight of the eyes, the desires, and the ways of thine heart. And what is God's word say? Well, you do that. Follow the ways of your heart. Follow the sight of your eyes. And it may be in other aspects of life, seeing some occupation perhaps. I would like to be in that occupation when I see what it achieves, or those who are enjoying it as they are involved in it, whatever. That's the time when naturally we follow the way of the heart. We follow the sight of the eyes. Every man who's married here, every woman who's married, knows that that is true. But this is what we read. But know thou, remember this, that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Because you see, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And the eyes so often are the eyes of covetousness, and the eyes that are looking at the objects we meet in life without God. Know that thou, for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You see, the days of the youth, the days of our youth, are days that God will give particular attention to. Yes, he will bring us into judgment for all of our lives. For childhood, for youth, for middle age, for old age, he will bring us into judgment for all that. But here we are told that God is interested in judging us for the days of our youth. Now you who are young, you who are passing through the days of your youth right now, what if God were to call you into judgment tonight? What if God were to call you to account for the days of your youth lived so far? And you would have to acknowledge, well, I didn't follow the commandments of God. I didn't follow the guidance of his word. I didn't take that into account. I just followed my heart. And I followed my eyes. And I decided, I like this, I like that. I'm inclined this way, I'm attracted to that. God will bring thee into judgment. And when we go to the end of the chapter 12, we're told there, we read, let us hear verse 13, the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work without exception, every work into judgment. God is going to pass judgment on everything we've ever done, on everything we've ever been involved in, for the decisions we've made in the days of our youth. God will bring us into judgment, every work, with every secret thing. Does that ever frighten you? That God will bring every secret thing into judgment. Because there won't be any secret things with him. The things we keep secret from one another, the things we're able to hide from our fellows, perhaps for a lifetime, God will very often expose things that are secret, things that are hidden, he will expose them in life. But if he doesn't, they will have to be accounted for finally before him. Therefore, it is necessary, it is our wisdom to remember God in the days of our youth. First of all, remembering who he is. We must have him in our minds. You cannot remember God, our Creator, if he's not in our thoughts. Now this is the Lord's Day. Young people, perhaps you listened to the preaching, you joined in the singing of the Psalms. What thoughts did you have of God today? How much was he in your mind? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, because it is much easier to remember God in the days of our youth. You speak to an older person and what is, well, my mind isn't as sharp as it used to be. I'm getting more and more forgetful. I can't think the way I used to think. And that happens to be true. The days of youth ought not to be wasted. I remember, I've maybe mentioned this before, a lady from the congregation in Inverness, she in the end was dying with cancer, and I used to visit her in the hospital in Inverness. She was one of the most kindly, gentle, gracious women. But she made a bad decision when she was a young woman. And she had to live with this, with the consequences. She married an ungodly man. And she thought she could really reform him. And he went to church with her every Lord's Day. Never missed. He had no problem. But he was just completely godless. And it influenced the family and the children. But I remember as she was deteriorating mentally and physically, as the cancer was destroying her, and I was reading to her and praying and we were talking, and she said, "Mr. Hutton, at the stage I'm at now, I'm mighty glad I sought Christ when I was young." Whatever mistakes she may have made, she was sure of this. "Because I would not be able, I cannot even think straight now." You see, the opportunities that come with youth, and the days of youth, they pass. And if we do not remember God, and we do not think of God, our Creator, then we will not understand not only who he is, but why he is even given as a being. "Remember now thy Creator who created you." He brought you into existence. He gave you a being. "Remember thy Creator." You are a creature. You are mortal. A creature that has a beginning in time, a time to be born and a time to die, so that not only will youth come to an end, but life itself will come to an end. "Remember now thy Creator who gave you a being upon whom you are totally dependent. You cannot exist without his sustaining." And you would think, that being the case, surely it must be impossible to forget God. If I know that I am a creature, a dependent creature, every day is a day that I'm suspended by a power outside of myself. Surely, surely it must be impossible for me to forget the God who has created me, that has brought me into existence. How can I not think of him? And yet, though we are mortal creatures, so dependent on God, how little we think of him. It tells us something about ourselves. It tells us something about how alienated we have become from God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He brought you into existence at a particular time, in a particular place, for a reason. Why did he give you the parents he gave you? Why did he put you in the home that he put you in? Did you choose? How many of us here, before we were born, before we took a breath in this world, how many of us decided who our parents would be? How many of us decided the home we would inhabit? How many of us decided who would be our brothers and our sisters? What genealogy we'd actually belong to? These are the things that are way beyond our control and are totally under the control of God. Remember thy Creator and think of his works, what he has purposed, what he has done, and the reason for it. You think of your own, you young people, think of the home you're in. And think of some of the other homes you know. Think tonight of children that are only half fed, whose parents are in a stupor because of drink and alcohol abuse and drug abuse, and the children are neglected. And the only time they ever hear the God mentioned is in blasphemy. Did you ever think, what would it be like to be born into a home like that? What if I had come into this world with parents like that? What would become of me? What would my prospects be? Remember God's goodness. Remember the privileges that God has bestowed upon you that have not been bestowed upon others. Remember the days of thy youth, thy Creator, who purposed to bring you in the days of your youth even into contact with those who brought benefit and brought blessing into your very own life. Think in the days of your youth, the dangers that confront you as a young person, company. If we forget God, what will happen? We're left to our own devices. We're left to form company, associations that will either damage us for the future or will bring blessing to us. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, to prevent you from wasting your life by forming alliances, by forming relationships that are going to destroy your soul. Remember now, the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. This is the very antithesis. It is in contrast to rejoicing in the days of youth. In my situation, I've often visited old people in hospitals, in old people's homes, and life is a burden to them. And you ask them, how are you? Oh, well, I'm in a lot of pain. I'm so tired. I'm just weary. I really can do nothing. I'm just existing. Those days come creeping upon us and youth disappears. But sometimes then, it brings regrets, serious and solemn regrets, because of the days of youth. You listen to the psalmist David, there in the Psalm 25, and David, we believe, really did love the Lord. He made mistakes, he fell, he stumbled. But he was, in the end, the man after God's own heart. And in Psalm 25, in verse 7, listen to him as he's addressing God. Verse 6, to get the connection, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. You know one thing that amazes me, and I'm not going to claim that I'm free from the guilt of the sin, because it is a very natural thing that parents will speak to their children of what they did when they were young. And very often children are very interested and they will ask, well, what did you do when you were young? What did you do when you were my age? What were you like when you were a young person? And then it is even more interesting when they get to the grandparents. And they want to know, what was it like in your generation? What did you do when you were young? What kind of things were you interested in? What were you involved in? And you know what happens? Parents and grandparents start to talk about the foolish things they did. And it can even be hilarious. And there is laughter at it. And that may be natural. But you know where the problem lies? That the children and the grandchildren think, well, if he did that, or she did that, nothing wrong with me doing it. And I believe, because I know as a father and a grandfather how easily it is to recall the stupidity and the folly and the sins of youth and to forget they actually were sins and to forget it actually was foolish and that it actually offended God. And yet, what sometimes do such fathers and grandfathers pray, just like the psalmist? What are they praying? Remember not the sins of my youth. But I want to tell my grandchildren all about them. remember not the sins of my youth. But we have a great laugh about them. Don't you see what foolish creatures we really are if left to ourselves? Remember not the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. I tell you, David has a real sense of sin that's lacking today so much. Because when we look back to David's youth, you would think what an exemplary youth it was. And yet David is speaking of his sins. In the book of Job, Job himself, there in the chapter 13, remember his so-called comforters or friends, they're accusing him of all kinds of things and all kinds of sins. And he's trying to defend himself, and he's of a mind that he's been falsely accused and so on. But then when he sets aside the thoughts and the words of his companions and he turns to God, this is what he says, verse 23 of Job 13. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgressions, or my transgression and my sin. Do we pray like that? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. I need to know because I need to confess my sins. I cannot cover them because they will not be forgiven if I do. Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Job is being falsely accused by these so-called comforters, and he is here seeking to defend himself. You are accusing me of this and accusing me of that and accusing me of these. I'm not guilty, but not for a moment do I think I'm without sin. And he's looking not to these comforters. He's not saying to them, make me to know my transgressions, because he doesn't rely on them. But he comes to the source of all knowledge. Make me to know my transgression and my sin. That's a work of God. That's something God does. He produces conviction of sin. He causes us to understand the heinousness of our sin. Not to be making jokes of it, but to be lamenting over it. And then in verse 26, what does Job now say? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. And yet Job was the greatest man in the East, and God holds him up to Satan and said, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him? And here's Job believing God is dealing with me because of the sins of my youth. It's very clear from what David says, from what Solomon says, from what Job says, that the sins of our youth have consequences. They have consequences. And therefore, it is vitally important in the days of our youth, young people, I plead with you, in the days of your youth, remember your Creator. Remember what He expects of you. You see, you have a youth. You experience the days of youth. You experience the blessings that come with that. and your youth is in a particular setting, in particular circumstances, you can look at many others your own age. Their circumstances are different. Their domestic affairs are different. Their society is different. They move in completely different circles. They do different things. But the one thing that in the days of our youth we are to remember is God our Creator. And He who created us, put us where we are, you young people, He has expectations because of this, as Jesus Himself taught, to whom much is given, from them shall much be required. Young people, there's going to be a lot more required of you because of your upbringing. There's going to be far more required of you than that godly young man or young woman that you know of, because they never had the upbringing you have. They never knew the things you've been taught. They never had your privileges. But you are going to have to give an account, as we read here, for all the things that God, your Creator, blessed you with. You can see that because of the accountability, there's every possibility we may stand, if we neglect our youth and waste it, stand with regrets before God, think of those tonight and a lost eternity, weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth, and they think of their wasted youth and the decisions they took, how they forgot God, and they despised their upbringing, and they despised the gospel, and now they're lost. And the opportunities that they wasted in youth have never returned. I was reading of a young woman, and she was in a Bible class being instructed by a godly teacher who was concerned for the salvation of the souls of her pupils, who were all girls. And there was a particular young woman that she had concerned for, because she was rather rebellious, and yet she knew the gospel, and she was always trying to persuade her to abandon her sinful thoughts and her sinful desires and turn to the Savior and give her life to Him. And in this occasion, she said to her teacher, "Well, I'm young. There's a lot of things I want to do. There's a lot of places I want to go. But I do intend to give my life to Christ when I get older. But I'm only a youth. And I want to enjoy my youth. And I'm not prepared just to adopt the serious life of a Christian just yet." And her teacher was very concerned, and she went to a florist and she bought a bunch of fresh roses, and she got them put in the box the way you would get at a florist, and she kept them in her home for 3 or 4 days in a dry atmosphere. And then she sent them to this young girl. And when she received them, she was of a mind, "Somebody's playing a prank on me. What use are these wilted roses? Somebody's just trying, they're playing a prank on me, and they're trying to annoy me." And then her teacher arrived, And she began to tell her what she'd received that day in the post. And her teacher said, "Well, Victoria, it was I who sent them." And she was about to say, "Why?" And then it struck her. She realized that any later life that she would give to the service of God would be the wilted years of her life. And she understood perfectly what was behind the action of her teacher. And it humbled her and brought her to repentance. And she understood, well, if Christ is worth serving, he's worth serving in my youth. And if he is worthy of being my Savior, I need to turn to him in the days of my youth. You young people, you are heading from youth into manhood and womanhood. You're going in a certain direction. Even now, your feet are going in a certain direction. Will it take you away from God? Or will it bring you closer to God? Remember now, not when it's too late. You remember the parable of the Savior. He speaks of the rich man. And he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, the beggar. "Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And what was the response? There is a great gulf fixed. But then he was continuing whenever the rich man says, "Well, I have five brethren and they're coming here too. Send Lazarus to tell them, to warn them, lest they end up here too." And what was the response? "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. If they don't listen to them, they won't listen to someone even if they were raised from the dead." But what did he say? "Remember that thou in thy lifetime." What a torment in eternity to be remembering, to have a quickened memory in a lost eternity, remembering and remembering and constantly remembering and being tormented by what you remember. "I remember my father on his knees praying for me. I remember my mother weeping over my soul. I remember the solemn sermons. I remember the conviction of sin. I remember my youth when I decided to go the wrong way. I remember. But it's too late. Remember, what a torment to remember. Never able to forget. Tormented throughout eternity. Remembering. I should have been saved. Remembering I should have repented. Remember I should have embraced Christ. Remembering I had the opportunity. And I give my soul into the hands of the devil in hell. And I am lost." Imagine if you were in a lost eternity just remembering even this one service. "I remember when I was a young man. I remember when I was a young woman. And I remember those solemn words. They torment me now because I didn't respond to them. They are tormenting me now because I didn't do anything with them." Remember now the day, in the days of thy youth, remember thy Creator. Whatever you do, do not forget God. Do not forget his goodness. Remember what he's done for you, and may it be blessed to you. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, we thank thee for thy word, its solemn warnings, its counsel, its advice for every stage in our lives. Remember the young here. Do thou guide them, do thou teach them, do thou draw them. Lord God, do thou keep them from the terrible influences that would destroy them. Draw them to thyself, and do thou bless thy word and pardon us for Christ's sake. Amen.